We are grateful for your presence this morning. In the church here at Henderson, we are well blessed with many older, more mature members, and we appreciate them so much for their example, for their wisdom. Our oldest member has a birthday this week. Sister Allie Hires will be 97, I believe it's on Saturday. She's able to be with us this morning, and up until just a few years ago, probably brought more people to services with her than anyone else. And we appreciate the example that she has given and are thankful to God, Miss Allie, that God has blessed you so well and for so many years. You noticed, I hope, in the passage that was read a few minutes ago, that emphasis was placed upon having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is extremely important. Of all the places that I could have my name written, I believe that that's the number one goal, to have it written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God keeps a record. He keeps a detailed record. Earlier in that passage read, it talks about being judged out of the books, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. Maybe the same book as the Lamb's Book of Life, but God keeps a record. He has a record of the names of those who are His. Acts 2:47 says, the Lord adds to the church such as should be saved. Revelation 3, verse 5, talks about the fact that God has the power to blot out one's name out of that book. And Philippians 4 and verse 3, reference is made to the fellow laborers with Paul having their names written in the Book of Life. That's the record that's important. But in our local work on a day-to-day basis, there is another record that we have. I have here a copy of our present membership list, updated on March the 3rd, and when I got my copy, it was interesting that the secretary said there are three changes that already need to be made the same day it was updated. This record that we have here of our local membership is very important, I believe, and yet it may not be exactly the record that God has in heaven. You see, in our work on a local basis, we're working as people who are not perfect. Sometimes we make mistakes with the information that we have, and sometimes we don't have the appropriate information. And so it is to be expected that our work may be less than perfect, less than complete, and that our records may not be exactly complete. God's record is right, and that's where we want to be sure that our name is. But folks, we need to understand that God has chosen as a method of His work in the church that there be local congregations, that there be the leadership of elders within each local church, and that each Christian be a part, an active part, of a local church. There are those who do not appreciate that fact. There are those who have become Christians but who have never become a part of a local work. I have known some people down through the years, and possibly even know some now, who will go to one congregation today and another one next Sunday and maybe another one next Sunday, and in talking with them will express the idea that I don't want to be tied down to a specific group. I just want to go worship anywhere I want to go. And of course, God does give us the choice to go where we want to go to worship Him. But I believe that there is a problem with a person who never becomes involved in a local work, never has what we call a church home, never considers himself a part of the family in that way. A few years ago, there was a man whom I knew in a Middle Tennessee church, serving as an elder in that particular congregation, who became angry at some of the others in the church, so angry that he walked out the side door and said he would never go back. And yet, as I was talking with him, he said, "I'm still an elder of that church." I said, "That's interesting. You don't even plan to go back to the church? You don't even plan to worship with them?" He said, "I'm an elder at large." Well, I've seen some large elders, but I didn't know that there was such a thing as an elder at large. I think he missed the point. Missed the point completely. This morning, in the first place, I want you to look with me at the word church as it is used in the New Testament in two different ways. First, it is used to refer to the entire body of Christ. Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it." Jesus was talking about his entire body, his entire bride, his entire church, when he was talking about building it. We've already made reference to Acts 2:47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I don't believe that it's this record that he's talking about there. I believe it's the record that he keeps in heaven. And he refers to the church as a unit, as a whole. The Lord is adding to the church. That's the church that belongs to Christ, the church that belongs to our Savior, that he bought with his blood. In fact, Acts 20:28 says he purchased the church with his blood. In that particular passage, the church may be used in another sense in reference to specific elders there, but as a whole, it's referring to the entire church. And we find several passages through the New Testament that use the church in that sense. And so when we become Christians, at the same time being added to the church, becoming part of the body of Christ, we are a part of the entire church. And the church of our Lord today is spread throughout the world. There are Christians in many, many different nations that will be meeting today to worship God, and all are a part of the church as a whole. But the word church is used in the New Testament to refer to a local situation, a local congregation, as we sometimes say, a local church, a local unit, a local part of the overall church of our Lord. For example, 1 and 2 Corinthians, both those letters are addressed to the church at Corinth. The letters that we call 1 and 2 Thessalonians were addressed to the church at Thessalonica. In Romans 16:16, the plural is used, "The churches of Christ salute you." In Galatians, the book is addressed to the churches of that area, several different congregations, as we would have 8 in this county. The book of Revelation was addressed to the churches, the 7 churches of Asia Minor. And in chapters 2 and 3, you have a specific address to the church at Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, and then also to Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea in chapter 3, 7 specific churches in that general area. And in Acts 14:23, on the return leg of the first missionary journey, it says they came back through these particular places where they had established a local church as they were going out, and they were appointing elders in every church. And Titus 1 says, "Appoint elders in every city." At that time, there was basically one congregation, one church, one group of Christians meeting together in each city. And that's the way God intended it to be in the very beginning, that each one be a part of a group meeting to worship and meeting to serve God in that local situation. I believe there is evidence throughout the New Testament that that's God's plan. And that God never did intend for Christians just to wander about and be there on their own and do their own thing. Of course, each one's responsible for himself, but as a part of a local work. There's just evidence throughout the pages of the New Testament that that's how God intended it to be. And that's the way it needs to be today. I think we can see several reasons for that. There's the family idea that's involved. God's family on earth, Ephesians 3:15, called the house of God. In 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. Husband-wife relationship helps us to understand Christ and the church. All of this talks about there being a family. And you and I sometimes talk about being a part of the family of God. And there's every reason to talk about being a part of the family of God that meets here at Henderson. This particular location, this particular family of God's people, that's the way God intended it to be. One of the saddest things that happens in which I participate is to be involved in sickness and death of a person who has no family. No children, nobody close at all, maybe some friends, and thankful for that. But there are some instances where we're involved with people, they even go to the hospital, they have no family to come see them. They have no family to check on business affairs. That's sad. And I believe, folks, that's exactly the way it is with a person, spiritually speaking, who does not become a part of, an active part of, a local congregation. Doesn't have that relationship that God intended for there to be. For example, there are times when some people who attend services here at Henderson are sick and we don't know about it. Something happens and although they attend here, we have no record of their attendance. We have no record of their address or telephone number. There's no contact. They just attend here and they do not have the opportunity to be served by this congregation as the congregation here serves in so many ways. I think that's sad. That people are trying to live the Christian life separate and apart from the ties that are involved in a local congregation. Being a part of a local work identifies one as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, lets people know where they are, what they're doing. It perhaps moves one from being self-centered as that person becomes involved with a group and active in that group, both giving and receiving in different areas. It helps to develop one's talent. There are people who sometimes will become Christians, never become a part of a local congregation, never participate in worship services in an active way, never are involved in any of the work that's being done in the community. They are just there and maybe attend the services. Their talents, in some instances, which could be great, are not developed and not used. Being a part of a local work provides a sense of being needed. I really think sometimes there are those who do not become involved in a local work who maybe in their own thinking think, well, I'm not important, I'm not needed, there's nothing I can do. Being involved in a local work opens up opportunities for all of us in our different areas of work and with the different talents that we have, and helps us to feel that we are needed, and perhaps is a main factor in keeping us from backsliding into the world. Haven't you known people who became Christians, never became actively involved, and maybe after a little while they began to miss some of the services, and before long they were not attending any, and just not involved in any way in the Lord's service? There is something about the local involvement where a person feels that he is a part and that he is needed, that is important. Emphasis is placed upon that in the Word of God. Now I realize in our local setting here, with many of you who are students at Freed Hardeman, who are here for a week or two and back home for a week or two and maybe in and out, it is difficult to become involved. And frankly, I don't have all the answers in that area of thought. I know that our leadership here and the congregation here is interested in providing every means possible to help. And yet I can realize that there is a little bit of a different situation there where one is in school and back and forth. It's hard to get involved on a regular basis, although there are some who have moved into the community, who are students and have moved in the community and are here on a fairly regular basis, that I believe could become involved just like anyone else. And here again, I suggest to you, I don't have all the answers. But I do believe that we need to do everything that we can to make people feel wanted and needed and involved in the local work. We talk about placing membership. We talk about being identified in a local work. Some prefer one of those terms. I've never thought that the term itself made that much difference as long as we understood the concept. God intended for us to be under the leadership of local elders. Read Hebrews 13, 7 and 17 particularly. They watch for our souls. I believe that's the way God intended for it to be. How do we go about that? Some people, when they're baptized, by their becoming Christians, living in that local setting, maybe already a part of families that are connected to the church, more or less just are considered members, consider themselves members. They're baptized into the body of Christ. They're already a part of the work in a sense of attending, and they just become a part of the work. There are some who may be restored, who have not been faithful and decide to become faithful in the Lord's work again. And in that process, let it be known that they want to be under the leadership of the elders of a local congregation. I do believe in a case like that, if the unfaithfulness has been somewhere else, that there needs to be contact made to let the people know that there has been a change in the lives of those people. And then there are those who simply let the elders know that they want to be a part of the local church. Is that biblical? Look at Acts 9, and you will see Barnabas going to bat for Saul of Tarsus, Paul, and saying he's okay, you ought to receive him in the work there. You look at Colossians 4:10, and you'll find Paul in his letter to the church at Colossae recommending certain Christians and saying receive them into your work. In Romans 16, 1 through 2, you will find Paul commending Phoebe and saying she ought to be received as a part of your work. And in several places, you'll find Paul making an appeal for himself as he writes, explaining who he is and what he's doing and what he wants to do as a part of the Lord's work. You'll find an example in that passage that most of us know in Acts 11, 26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, that Barnabas went and got Saul and brought him to Antioch, and they became a part of the church and worked there for a period of time. Folks, the scripture is filled with examples of someone explaining to another, of writing a letter. There is a case where a letter was written in Acts 18, I believe it is, relative to Apollos. Several people wrote, the brethren wrote a letter commending Apollos where he was going, that he might be involved in the work there. This is a part of God's will. It's a part of the Bible. There's example after example of someone becoming a part of a local work and a letter being written by one or by many, or someone who was known explaining about this person that's coming that everything is right with him, that he is faithful as a Christian. The Bible definitely teaches us that this is the way God wants us to work as Christians and wants us to be involved in a local work as a part of a local church, as a part of a local family. All of us throughout the world who are New Testament Christians make up the church as a whole. But God's pattern for the work of the church is within the local congregation. We don't have central headquarters except in heaven. We don't have a diocese or a section and someone over that. There's no example in the Bible for that. It's the local church, the local family, under the elders of that local church. And God wants us to be involved. Now, the bottom line of what we're saying this morning is this. If you've not yet become a Christian, you need to become one and become involved in the local family of God's people. You believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess his name, be baptized into Christ. At the same time you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his body, becoming a Christian, a member of the body of Christ, one and the same, salvation from past sins, and then you're ready to be active as a part of the local family. Maybe there are those who need to be restored. We don't hear that word used as much as we used to. But in some instances, there are people who need to be restored. They went through a period of time that they were not faithful to the church, did not attend the services, did not worship God, or maybe had some other problems. Now they've turned it around and they want to be faithful again. There needs to be an asking of God's forgiveness. Be restored to the work and let it be known that you want to be an active part of the local congregation. And then there may be those who are just as faithful as they can be as far as living the Christian life. Maybe worship God on a regular basis, but have never really become involved, or at least here locally, have not become involved in the local work. I believe in that case, in some way, you need to let our elders know that you're living here, you plan to be worshiping here, you're ready to help in any way they need you, you're ready to volunteer your services, you want to be an active Christian. Here again, I don't believe there is any specific example of exactly how that's to be done in letting it be known. But in some way, letting the elders know that you want to be an active part of the local church. All of these things that we've talked about in the last moment or two will strengthen our work and eventually save souls. And that's what it's all about. We want to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But on a day-to-day basis, there needs to be some way that we know each other and can involve each other. Not God's list, but our working list. Because that's the way God intended it to be as a part of the local church. If you do not have the right relationship with God in any way whatsoever, let us help you if we can, as together we stand and sing.
When Jesus comes to